Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So, if you're in B2B sales or marketing, you probably know the feeling. Lead generation can feel a bit like, I don't know, an unpredictable fire hose.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
It's this massive, really expensive effort where you just turn up the volume and, you know, hope enough water hits the target.
And you hope you're aiming at the right building.
Exactly. But based on the research you shared, our mission today is to get past that chaos. We're here to talk about building a predictable sales pipeline, a systematic machine that actually runs efficiently and delivers, well, consistent revenue.
And that system approach is so critical. The source material is, it's really adamant about this. The goal is not just high volume, not at all.
Right.
The real goal is a sustained, predictable flow of prospects who match these very specific, defined revenue profiles. I mean, generating B2B leads today, it demands you align your messaging, your channels, and your offers with a simple expectation. Modern buyers need absolute clarity, surgical relevance, and, you know, solid evidence of business value before they'll even think about giving you their time.
Okay, let's unpack this then. If we're moving from the fire hose to this systematic engine, we have to start with the foundation, the non-negotiable step zero. Qualification.
Absolutely. High-performing teams start by defining their ideal customer profile, their ICP, and they do it with a level of detail that, frankly, most organizations just never get to.
It's more than just industry and headcount, right?
Oh, much more. They define it at three critical layers: organizational, functional, and behavioral.
Okay, that distinction feels key. What are we looking for in those three layers?
So the organizational layer is, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Size, revenue, industry, the stuff everyone does.
The basics.
Right. But yeah, the functional layer gets more nuanced. You're looking at the tech stack they use. Their prior technologies are a huge signal, and the specific roles on the buying committee. But the deepest layer is behavioral.
And what does that mean in practice?
This is about identifying the expected triggers for a purchase. Did they just raise a new funding round, appoint a new VP? Is there a big regulatory change coming? And maybe most important is looking for what the sources call readiness indicators.
That detail really matters because it tells you where to spend your time and budget. If your outreach doesn't get that, like, if it doesn't recognize they just switched their ERP system, it's just noise.
It is.
But when your outreach is perfectly aligned with those triggers and indicators, that's when the research shows conversion rates just skyrocket.
And once we have that definition, we need a common language to track these leads. The sources define two really critical stages that govern that handoff between marketing and sales.
We're talking MQLs and SQLs here, but let's go, you know, a bit deeper than the textbook definition.
Right. Let's look at the operational reality. A marketing qualified lead, an MQL. This is a lead that needs discipline nurturing. They're showing intent, but they're not ready for a sales call.
Not yet.
Exactly. So high-performing orgs use what they call intent-based MQLs. The scoring isn't just based on the volume of clicks, but on specific high-value actions.
Like downloading a certain template or what?
Incredible.
Visiting the pricing page three times?
Precisely. The goal is to make sure MQLs actually convert into pipeline at a predictable rate.
And if those MQLs are taking those high-value actions, they eventually become sales-qualified leads, SQLs.
The hot leads. These are the ones demonstrating a strong, overt intent to purchase, and they align with the full ICP. They give you the highest conversion rates. But here's the friction point.
There's always one.
The sources really emphasize that sales and marketing have to rigorously define the SQL acceptance criteria together. If sales is just rejecting half the leads marketing sends over, the entire system breaks down. It's a huge waste of budget, and it creates so much friction.
So we've defined who we want. We've set the handoff rules. Now let's talk about structuring the actual lead generation engine, this whole system that integrates awareness, engagement, capture, and nurturing. What does a robust engine look like?
The engine needs coordination and clarity. That structure needs sophisticated audience segmentation, mapping messages to specific roles. It means having offers tailored to the buyer's intent stage.
So not a one-size-fits-all ebook.
Definitely not. You need early-stage learning content and late-stage decision support tools. And critically, it demands consistent closed-loop performance measurement across the whole funnel.
That clarity allows us to move into strategy. And here's where it gets really compelling, I think. Let's look at the strategies that attract buyers who are already out there doing their own research. The high-intent inbound flow. We have to start with the engine of organic growth. Search visibility, SEO.
SEO is foundational. It just is. B2B buying is so decentralized and independent now, the buyer defines their own problem and they go to search to find the solution.
So your content has to meet them there.
Exactly. You need to structure your content not around your product features, but rigorously around problem definition queries, solution evaluation, and those deep industry pain points.
And the data on this is pretty clear. In the research you shared, pages that provide clarity on, say, use cases or workflows, the operational stuff, they outperform product-centric content by a huge margin.
They really do. And strong SEO, when you focus it that way, it just dramatically reduces your acquisition costs and produces these sustained compounding results. It's the closest thing to digital infrastructure work you can do.
Okay, so from search strategy to the assets themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The content has to simplify these really complex decisions, right?
It has to. We need material that gives real insight into the buyer's world and shows a deep understanding of the risk and the capability they need to implement something new.
So we're not talking about generic blog posts.
Mm-hmm.
The sources gave some great examples of high-impact formats, like framework explanations for big industry problems or sophisticated comparison resources.
And practical tools.
Yes. Things like templates, checklists, things that actually help them do their job. Those are the assets that support objective decision making and get shared around the buying committee.
And this brings up the whole conversation around gated content. Capture only works when the perceived value of what you're offering significantly outweighs the friction of them giving you their email address.
So what's the best value exchange? It's not a 50-page PDF, is it?
No, it's a decision support tool, a financial calculator, or a complex operational template. They outperform the generic ebooks because the value is immediate. It's applicable to their job right now.
And there's a really actionable insight there on the tactical side.
Yeah.
The forms themselves have to be minimal friction. If you're using a 5-field form when you only need 2, you are losing conversions, period.
And every field you do include should directly improve your qualification or routing. It has to increase your speed to lead.
Because a lead is useless if you can't follow up on it fast enough.
On the engagement front, we can't forget about event-based engagement. Webinars, virtual workshops, they attract high-intent leads because attendance requires a time commitment that signals serious intent.
And the unique benefit is that they support multi-stakeholder attendance, right? You can influence a whole decision group at once.
Which is incredibly hard to do with just static content.
That's a good pivot point. So if inbound is about attracting people already searching, let's switch gears to outbound. You said it's about precision, not volume. How do we ensure that efficiency?
Precision starts with impeccably clean, hyper-segmented data. Your lists have to be built not just on the ICP, but around those specific buying triggers and the current organizational structure. If your database is old or generic, your outbound efforts will always fail.
So the big question on everyone's mind, does cold email still work?
It does, but only when the messages focus ruthlessly on relevance over, say, deep personalization. You don't need to mention their dog's name.
Uh-huh.
Effective outreach shows you're aware of their operational friction or cost inefficiencies, something they are actively worrying about today. That's what earns a reply.
Could you give us a quick trait of a strong email sequence from the research?
Sure. 4 things. Direct, specific subject lines. 1 core point per message. Don't cram everything in. Minimal formatting and a crystal clear relevance to their immediate job.
Okay, moving to more advanced strategies. Account-based marketing, ABM. This is where you concentrate your resources on the highest value accounts. But the key insight isn't just targeting, it's what you personalize.
Exactly. In ABM, personalization means aligning your content with account-level initiatives, their stated annual goals, their investor talking points. You're delivering insights that matter to the organization's leadership.
So you're speaking their language.
You have to. The budget holder doesn't care about a future. They care about competitive advantage. Your content has to reflect that.
But even with the right targets and messaging, timing is everything. Which brings us to intent data. Explain how that helps.
Intent data is the signal that an organization's priorities have just shifted. It lets you move from prospecting to reacting at the precise moment they need help. The challenge, though, is integration. The data is useless unless you map those signals directly to a dedicated outreach sequence that focuses only on that research topic. If a company is researching alternative supply chain software, your outreach shouldn't be a generic pitch. It should be an assessment of supply chain complexity costs.
And once we've captured that interest, we have to talk about effective-led nurturing. How do we convert that early interest into something sales-ready?
Nurturing programs have to support the buyer's internal process. They're trying to build a case for change inside their own company. Your content needs to give them operational clarity, evidence, risk mitigation, not just repeat marketing messages.
So you're arming your champion.
You're arming your champions. Strong systems use segmented email cadences and have clear thresholds for when sales gets involved, all tracked seamlessly in the CRM.
Okay, we've built the engine, we've defined the strategies. Now, what are the operational anchors that keep this whole thing running? Let's talk infrastructure and the barriers that cause these systems to collapse.
Yeah. Reliable lead gen depends entirely on solid infrastructure. It starts with your CRM and data consistency. You have to have accurate, real-time data. Maintaining strict data hygiene is essential.
The old garbage in, garbage out problem.
It's absolutely true. The sources are clear. Poor data integrity weakens the entire funnel and makes optimization impossible.
And that's where tech like marketing automation comes in. The sources mentioned Pardot, HubSpot, Marketo. What's the purpose here beyond just sending emails?
Those systems support scalable segmentation, lead scoring, automated handoffs. But the key insight is that automation has to support human decision-making, not replace it. Your scoring model has to be smart. Otherwise, automation just speeds up the process of sending bad leads to sales.
And how do we know if any of this is actually working?
You need a closed-loop measurement system. You have to track acquisition sources, cost efficiency, conversion quality, and the sales acceptance rate. That data lets you reallocate resources to what's working. Without that feedback loop, you're just chasing volume for the sake of volume.
Knowing what success looks like, let's quickly hit the common barriers that weaken B2B lead generation to help people avoid them. First up, misaligned messaging.
A classic. Focusing on product features instead of business outcomes. If you can't quantify the benefit, you've already lost the attention of leadership.
Second, over-reliance on a single channel.
Yeah, if you only use LinkedIn and their algorithm changes, your entire pipeline can just evaporate. Diversification stabilizes your results.
Third, and this one is always painful, lack of speed in lead response.
The research is so consistent here. Conversion potential drops off a cliff after the first hour. If your system takes 2 days to get a lead to a sales rep, you've basically lost the deal.
And finally, the infrastructure barriers. Poor data quality and fragmented systems.
These just prevent you from scaling. The effort it takes to clean data after the fact is always, always greater than the effort to enforce standards from the start.
So to wrap this all up, what's the long-term pillar for sustainable growth?
It's the deep integration between sales and marketing. It has to be. Shared goals, shared definitions for MQLs and SQLs, shared metrics, shared workflows. When both teams are operating from the same playbook, that's when lead generation becomes truly predictable.
That brings us right back to the core mission, building that systematic, predictable pipeline. It's about prioritizing qualification, executing multi-channel outreach, and just maintaining absolute data integrity.
And this raises a really important question. The source material highlights conversion optimization as the ongoing work that separates good engines from great ones. This isn't a project you do once a year.
It's a process.
It's a continuous process of examining friction points, your form structure, the clarity of your message, and critically, your speed to response. These small inefficiencies, they don't just reduce output a little bit. They compound. They kill momentum across the entire funnel.
That is the core of it.
Yeah.
The biggest gains aren't always in finding the next shiny new strategy, but in fixing the leaky pipes you already have.
Yeah.
So we want to leave you with a final thought. If lead generation gets stronger when you treat optimization as this ongoing process, what stands out to you as the highest impact point of friction in your own current process? Is it the quality of your initial content offer? Is it the speed to lead response time? Or maybe it's the conversion rate from SQL to opportunity. What's the one thing you will target first to reduce inefficiency?
That's a powerful question.
Take that thought with you as you begin building your own systematic framework. Thanks for diving in with us.